Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org.
From Mansur's on the Boulevard, we're out to lunch with Stephanie Regal. It's business, Baton Rouge style.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Regal. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Technology has opened doors in so many industries and enabled us to do so many things we couldn't even imagine in the past. At the same time, we've made things more complicated for ourselves, creating systems that don't always talk to each other and languages we don't even understand. Today, we have two guests who are helping us break through the clutter with products and services that are enabling our tech systems to work for us more effectively and helping our businesses better communicate their messaging. My first guest is John Morello, Chief Technology Officer of Gutsy, a tech firm that has come up with a better way to help companies protect themselves against cyber threat. More specifically, Gutsy uses process mining, and we'll get to what that is in a minute, to ensure that the various cybersecurity systems a complex organization has in place are talking to one another and doing what they're supposed to be doing. If John's name is familiar to you, it may be because he was a guest on Out to Lunch in 2019 when he was running Twistlock, a tech firm that developed cloud-based cybersecurity solutions. In the years since then, John and his partners sold Twistlock, and now they've created Gutsy to address a need they identified when running Twistlock. John is a 14-year veteran of Microsoft who lives in Baton Rouge now and is also a master diver and very active in coastal conservation. John, welcome back to Out to Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
With me and John at the table is Kenny Nguyen, founder and owner of 368, a creative and strategic media agency based in Baton Rouge that focuses on branding, marketing, and advertising with a high-tech, high-energy, super creative approach. The company's origins date back to 2011, when Kenny and his friend were still students at LSU and started Big Fish Presentations, which specialized in public speaking and presentation services. In 2016, they merged that company with another local firm to form 368. In the years since, it has grown to include a variety of local and national clients that include the video game Tomb Raider, the nonprofit Opportunity at Work, national companies like Compass Data Centers, and the Baton Rouge Area Chamber's retention campaign. Kenny is a native of Baton Rouge and also a former Out to Lunch guest from way back when in our early years. Kenny, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Stephanie. Throwback.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, y'all both look just the same, so yeah. None the worse for wear. COVID didn't do you any damage. But, John, let's start with process mining, because the eyes are starting to glaze over. I can hear it through the airwaves. What does this mean?
Because it's actually a pretty simple idea. If you read any sort of media, business press especially, you probably see reports almost on a daily basis of some major organization having some kind of security incident, losing your data, being compromised in some way. And you might think, well, with all of the awareness and knowledge of that, and literally, in many cases, tens of millions of dollars that these organizations invest annually, why does it continue to happen? Right. And the fundamental idea that we have and what we've observed over doing this stuff for 25 years now is that the problem is not that tools don't exist. The problem is organizations struggle to make those tools work with each other and with their systems and teams and so forth. And process mining is a simple concept. It basically is, if you have any particular process that you want to understand, like how do you remove a staff member's access to data after they leave, or there's a vulnerability in some software that you use, how do you discover it and then fix it? if you can connect to all the different tools that people use as part of that process, and you can pull the information about what they do individually, then you can use a lot of modern science techniques to basically be able to create a model that shows how they work with each other. And that's really what we do, is we help organizations see how all these teams and tools and services work together, so that where there's inefficiencies or gaps or things aren't being done consistently, they can identify that, fix that problem, and thus be able to get all the value and protective benefit from those tools.
So fascinating. So it is literally just sort of studying and understanding the processes in a system, right? And then fixing the problems.
Yeah, that's right.
That
I mean,
you
know, security is fundamentally all about processes, and the organizations that have the best security outcomes are the ones that are most disciplined about the processes they follow. You know, again, how do I respond to some kind of incident, or how do I deal with, some employee who's lost their laptop? Like, you know, most of this stuff doesn't require a lot of innovation. It requires a lot of discipline to do it the same way, the right way over time. And we're trying to help organizations be able to identify where those problems are, to set goals for improvement, to measure performance towards that, basically to be able to get more out of the investments they've already made.
Fantastic. I have so many questions, but Kenny, I want to bring you into the conversation. I want you to bring us up to speed on 368 and what you've been up to in recent years. I know you've just grown tremendously, and you were just 19 when you started Big Fish, or
yeah,
thereabouts, right?
And, yeah, about it.
And today, give us sort of the scope and overview of what 368 is doing.
Yeah, so 368 today, since I've seen you, we've evolved quite a bit. Really, like, it's our vision. Is that our vision is to help Baton Rouge become the creative capital of the South. We really do believe in Baton Rouge and what it has. I mean, we're still here, y'all. And it's really drove our work. And it drove our work in the best of ways, is that I have this fundamental belief of you need to do good work to do great work. And it's like a cycle. Good work is do creative work that's so great. People pay you well. You can pay your employees. Like, great things happen, right? But the byproduct of that is that you make money. What do you do with that money? Invest back into the community. We call that great work. So you do good work to get more great work, and the more great work you do, you tend to get more good work. So it's like a cycle. And so we always found that, like, investing into our communities, the more you give, the more that you get.
Yeah. So that sounds great. And what does it mean when you talk about investing in our communities? How?
We love, for example, we have a nonprofit that spun off from 368 called Assembly Required. The whole focus of that is similar to the vision of 368, which is help Baton Rouge become the creative capital of the South. I don't know, this is so crazy that when I say it out loud, I can't believe we did this. We did 4 conferences last year to bring together people in the community that did not know each other that should. And our goal is to help. That's where creativity lies.
Sure.
Is when people who might have similar values but, like, different beliefs and perspectives come together in a room. We believe something beautiful can be unlocked by that. And that's how we give back, is, like, we help fund a nonprofit that helped bring people together. I mean, 6 new businesses got started. A $30 million film fund came from Sanjay Sharma after, like, coming to Baton Rouge. He told me directly, it's like, I'm working on this film fund. We read it in the business report. And the big thing that we hope gets passed right now is we're up for helping tear the paper ceiling, which was a focus of last year, which was, do we really need degrees to put people in the best jobs? If you are able to do the job, you should be able to have the job, right? And that was a big focus of last year's conversation, was how do we remove the degree requirements for state jobs in Louisiana? What can economic mobility look like?
Interesting. Oh, I love this. All right, we're going to follow up on this in a minute. John, I want to bring you back into the conversation. Bring us up to speed on Twistlock. Y'all sold the company, a successful exit, a $500 million deal. That's huge. I mean,
it was.
In New Orleans, when there was a $500 million exit a couple of years ago, Lucid or Level Set, one of those.
Yeah,
deals,
Level,
like,
Set.
Everybody
yeah.
talked about it like as if, it, and I don't, y'all kept Twistlock kind of quiet, huh?
Well, I don't know if it was quiet as much as it was, you know, there's so many acquisition announcements, I guess, in big tech that sort of gets lost in the noise, I guess, a little bit.
But not in Louisiana.
No, not in Louisiana. And it was a great thing. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of with Twistlock is the opportunity we created for people in Louisiana. I mean, although it was a global company, we had people literally all over the world that worked at Twistlock, as we do with Gutsy. You know, right in Louisiana, we had 20 people that did all of our solution engineering globally. So, I mean, they literally worked with customers around the world. If you've ever streamed a movie from Disney Plus, that was protected with Twistlock. Twistlock flies on the F-35. You know, Twistlock, if you ever buy in-flight Wi-Fi, actually protects the connections that you get from the plane to the ground station or satellite. I mean, really awesome stuff. And it was all engineered and worked on by people in Baton Rouge. And a lot of those people, even after we sold to Palo, either stayed on at Palo, but many of them went to other cloud security companies that they still live in Baton Rouge and do that work. And one of the interesting stories is that some of them have told me now that when their customers call in or ask for help from the new companies that they work at, they ask them, why is it that every time I need help with cloud security, I'm talking to somebody in Baton Rouge? And it's really neat that the whole story was because they kind of came through Twistlock.
Kenny, I think I know who your next client's going to be. I think I know the story to tell.
What I love is seeing like people chose to stay in Baton Rouge is like you helped make a lot of people probably very wealthy. And I love that when people stay here and they reinvest back into the community. Yeah. I think that's a great entrepreneur ecosystem is that you want to help support entrepreneurs like you. They do very well. They exit. All that money can stay into the communities and then more stuff can come up.
Exactly.
I mean, you're part of the solution, man. A big part of it.
Well, we're trying to be. I mean,
yeah. Amen, brother.
It's one thing I'm really, like I said, I'm really proud of. It's one of the most gratifying aspects of it. I mean, a couple of years ago, the folks that worked for me at Twistlock gave me, honestly, one of the best gifts I've ever gotten, which was just like this plaque that was showing like all the people, the kids that they had and houses that had been bought. Honestly, it makes me choke up a little bit just talking about it. It was like really pretty amazing thing to see the impact you can have on people.
That's fantastic. Kenny, when y'all are focused for BRAC on keeping young talent here, because that's one of your major new campaigns for a really important local client, and it gets to the heart of what we're talking about here, what's the selling point? How do you do that? How do you communicate that?
It's interesting because we're working with BRAC and VBR on this campaign, and the goal is to keep young professionals here. So, John, like, you know, your stories are like the stories that we want to tell because it gives people that belief that, wow, this can happen here. Really what we're looking for is like, we find that people with like ex-Louisiana connections, they all have that yearning to come back at times. They always miss that part of them because there's something in the water here that I think people love. It's the joie de vivre culture, that backyard culture, mm-hmm. right? That festival culture, but also that feeling of community here. Really what we want to tap into is that BTR, if you come down here, we're going to immerse you in our community and you want to be a part of it because the thing is like, do you just want to hustle your whole life or do you want to come here, have a slower pace of life, still do amazing work? Like John, you're a great example of that, but also be part of a community that knows how to celebrate and be with each other. I think there's like value to that. And I'm not dumb enough to say, like we don't have problems here, but we also have great things. What I hope this campaign really does is that I find that Baton Rouge tends to be the city that doubts itself the most. We talk mm-hmm. a lot of smack about ourselves. I think Louisiana in general, right?
Absolutely. Baton Rouge in specific, I think there's nothing people enjoy more than self-loathing, I think.
Yeah, and like that's what we hope this campaign can do. So it's called Better in BTR. We're not saying that we're better than you, but we are BTR, right?
Yeah.
And because there are a lot of things to be proud of. And what I've already seen from this kind of campaign is people coming out going, yeah, why are we so hard on ourselves? We got a lot of things that we're really good at. Like we have got, like, you know, everyone complains about traffic. Everyone complains about education. We got to then see, like, what are the beautiful things that we can talk about? And I hope this campaign ultimately raises that civic pride, gets people to come back or gets people to stay.
No, that's a good point. I mean, I just got back just last night, actually, from Seattle and San Francisco. And, I mean, I've worked all over the world, all over the country for mm-hmm. my whole career. And I think one of the things people lack a lot of times is just perspective on it.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, there's definitely problems. Like everybody, like everywhere has problems. But if you go and you spend enough time in other cities, you realize, like, the problems we have are not necessarily unique. And they're not necessarily any worse than they are in other places, and that you can make a great life and really enjoy your life. As you said, I think you said the culture and the community aspect is something that's pretty unique in Louisiana. And it's one of the things, you know, when I first started at Microsoft, I lived in Dallas and Charlotte for a few years, and we moved back because of those things. And that's something I think most people that I've encountered that move away for work, given an opportunity, would like to move back.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, is that, I mean, you're literally like the case study of it. So why did you choose to stay?
Just to stay in Louisiana?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's this thing that you identified. It's having family here. It's having, you know, that community. I mean, I really enjoy life in Louisiana. I'm a big outdoorsman. I mean, it's got, you know, world-class hunting and fishing. And, I mean, it's just a great place to be for that. But even if that's not your thing, I mean, just the ability to, you know, to go to all the different community events and festivals and, you know, things like Mardi Gras that people take for granted. But, I mean, are, you know, truly unique. You know, like lots of other parts of the country have nothing like that. And that's something that we don't do enough of a good job of illustrating to people as a compelling, you know, aspect beyond just the work part.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Stephanie Rigo. I'm talking to John Morello of Gutsy and Kenny Wynn of 368. So one thing we talk about a lot going back nine seasons on this show is you know, the workforce, the tech workforce specifically, and the talent pipeline, and you both need tech workers, different types of tech workers, maybe more graphic creative on your side, Kenny. But I mean, are those folks here? And do y'all struggle finding them? Or is it like we've heard so many guests on this show say, we just outsource all over the world? Or what is it today in this year?
I mean, I would say for us, it's been some of both. You know, I think if you're a modern organization, you should realize that no matter where you're located, all the talent is not going to be miraculously co-located with you. And if you choose to only have people that are physically in wherever you're based, you're going to lose out on a lot of opportunity with that. So as I said, there's a lot. We have people at Gutsy, for example, and at Twistlock that work all over the world in different places. At the same time, there are plenty of people in Louisiana who are very capable, very talented. Like I said, it's not just me hoping for that or guessing. That's our lived experience that we did over multiple years. Those people are there. Now, the challenge I think we have today is around scale for that. You know, if we were starting a company where I needed to go and hire, you know, 200 developers, which, you know, it would be unusual if you had a startup that grew like that. But if you did have something like that, it'd be hard to probably find 200 really solid, experienced developers.
And that means software developers.
Correct. Exactly. That's one of those things that, like as Kenny said, you know, you don't get that overnight. You don't get that just by creating a program. You have to get that by creating an ecosystem where people have opportunities to come, you know, to grow their careers, to stay around, to build new companies, take on new opportunities, and to grow that organically over time. I don't think there's really a shortcut you can take there.
That's
and
so
what
true.
Do you find, Kenny?
I want to go more on John's point too. Is like, let's say this, if me and him had a company and we had to recruit a bunch of people, like developers down here, like we have software developers as well. We're not just recruiting the developer themselves, we're recruiting like the spouse as well. And that's why like quality of life and like making sure we're very clear about the quality of life that you have, just not in work, but also in life as well. That's super key. And that's why like we have to change people's perspectives, is that yes, you can work here, but you can also thrive here and have a great life here. Yeah. That makes our recruiting so much easier. I do have people all over the country as well. And I find that it's helpful to have outside perspective. You only have just here. I like people with some outside perspective. And like together, I think that's when the best ideas come forth.
So you have creative employees outside of Baton Rouge who
We have people in California, in Chicago, in Charlotte. And when I last talked to you, we didn't have that. But I realized like the pandemic gave us a mulligan on the relationship with work. I never thought we should go back to the way that we worked. I thought we should evolve the way that we worked. And that gave us more agency to do so. And for us, it was, there are advantages of all being in the same office, but there are also advantages of having outside perspective as well. And we've tried to tap into that as much as possible.
That's so great. John, explain a little more about what Gutsy's doing, because I think this whole cybersecurity space is fascinating. And is there competition for what Gutsy is providing? I mean, the way you make it sound so easy and like, right, almost just like plain as day, right? Everybody should be doing this. We try to make it easy for the customer.
For us to build the capability, the technical capability, is really challenging. The ability to do something like this really, I would say, has not been possible, but for maybe the past 5 years or so. And the technical things that make this possible is the fact that so many systems today that people use in these security workflows are not to be too technical, but what would be called API enabled. You know, there's a way to connect to those with software to get data in, to send data to them and so forth. That's not something that you encountered as frequently in the past. There's also been a huge evolution in the world of data science and being able to work with really large data sets and services that make it much more feasible to build things like what we have with Gutsy. I would say like our competition is less about like there's another company that's, you know, doing the same thing that Gutsy is, as much as it is trying to get people to realize that this is a problem that is solvable with technology, and doing it the old manual way with a bunch of auditors and manual effort and so forth that didn't scale and was really low value and expensive, that's the thing that you can replace. And I really think of that as really being the real competition that we have. And our challenge as well is that in that situation, you're trying to create that market. You know, it's not like a market where people know this is something that exists. So you have to educate them on what's possible, and you have to show them the capabilities that they can get from it.
And that's why it's so important that John has to speak basically plain English, right?
Right.
Like, because these problems here, like, you can definitely over-technical them. Really, it's about protecting yourself. One thing about your industry I'm always so fascinated by is you have to outpace the innovation of attacks. Like, the people that are making the attacks are getting more innovative, yeah, and you have to out-innovate them, ironically.
Yeah.
How do you stay on pace with that?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I feel like that is one of the biggest challenges that the industry faces and that everybody
the world,
faces.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because all those tools that the good guys have, things I was describing around big data and connectivity and so forth, those things are exactly accessible to the attackers as well. I remember General Michael Hayden, who was the commander of NSA, had spoken at a number of conferences and stuff. He made a statement at one time that I thought was really, really profound and explained kind of what you're talking about, which is that, you know, in most sort of combat or conflict situations, there are advantages in the terrain for the attackers and advantages in the terrain for the defenders, and a lot of it's finding where it is. Whereas if you think about cyber, really all of the advantages are on the attackers. There's almost no advantage for the defenders. You know,
yeah,
like the attacker can fail 99.9% of the time, and if they get through that one in a thousand times, it can be a cataclysmic event for the defender. And so it's really difficult, you know, especially as organizations expect all this increased connectivity and their employees expect to be able to use all these different apps and work from their phones and all this other stuff. It's really hard for organizations, yeah, to be able to maintain security of that, which is why, you know, a company like Gutsy, we're trying to help take all of these different risks that you have and all these different tools that you're using to try to mitigate those risks and actually allow you to operationalize them successfully. Not just to buy the capability and keep it kind of as shelfware, but to actually get benefit from what you've invested in.
And that's why you need to buy into companies like Gutsy, because what they're doing here is like they're trying to keep up and they're really the good guys here. You want the good guys on your side. And like while you're trying to run your company, how can you run your company and also try to figure out constantly, how do I keep out innovating the bad guys? Right, you need that kind of outside perspective. That's why I think a company like yours is so valuable, is like you help keep people in check and you have the pulse on what's out there.
Kenny, one company that we mentioned in the introduction, a client, Tomb Raiders, one of the best known video games, whether or not our listeners know it, but a certain demographic of gamers and younger people out there, it's a big deal. And they even made a movie, right?
Like multiple movies. It's
Angelina Jolie, great start. And y'all got to do their campaign.
We did their website.
That's huge.
It was definitely a blessing because our team are all gamers. Like our team grew up playing Tomb Raider, but I think the key of what like makes that so fun is that we really redefine what a website could be. Is that when you go to a website, you think you're just there to read something. What if you're there to play, learn? I think we miss a lot of awe during our day, like that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is real.
Yeah.
Like we try to bring that in with a lot of the work that we do. And my personal credo is this, is that video game websites are typically very boring. I believe no industry deserves the excuse of saying, oh, what we do, you know, is very boring, so our work should be boring. I hate that. Like that's why like our real clients, like majority of our clients are in education and nonprofits. We don't give them that excuse at all. You do not have the excuse to have a crappy website or a crappy communications. At the end of the day, who you're speaking to are all human, and they want to be talked to as if they're human as well.
Oh, and man, every nonprofit out there needs help with their website.
Yeah.
That is such a crying need. All right, so real quick, are y'all exit strategies for y'all, or is this more like a vocation, a way of life, a way to change the world?
Well, fortunately, after Twistlock, like we could have different priorities. And I guess for me, like, it's more about being able to hopefully create something like, you know, as good or even better than we had with Twistlock, like, create those opportunities, create that reason for people to come back or to stay in Louisiana. I guess never say never, but that's not what our focus is for sure.
Okay. Same here. Yeah. I don't think about that. Right now, what I think about is, like, how much value can we create for our customers, for our community, and the byproduct, hope we can give back to more to our community. We want to be that engine.
Well, Kenny Wynn and John Morello, our world is changing so fast, the way we think, the way we communicate. Sometimes it's head spinning, and it's exciting to think that two Baton Rouge-based firms are helping lead that revolution and do so in ways that are harnessing technology responsibly. Thank you both for all that you do and for making time to share your stories with me today on Out to Lunch. I wish we had more time to continue this interesting conversation.
Thank you.
My guests today on Out to Lunch have been John Morello of Gutsy and Kenny Wynn of 368. We edited the show to fit into our time slot here on WRKF. You can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Gutsy and 368 on the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch Baton Rouge podcast on your podcast app and on our website. It's batonrouge.la. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on itsbatonrouge.la and on our Out to Lunch Baton Rouge social media. Today's photos were taken by Brian Newton. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsbatonrouge.la and WRKF 89.3 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producers are Peter Ricciuti and Ann Edelman. And today's show was engineered by Dylan Babineau. I'm Stephanie Regal. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you around the table at Mansour's again next week for more business Baton Rouge style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Baton Rouge is recorded live over lunch at Mansour's on the Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Mansour's is open for lunch daily, 11 to 2, for dinner nightly, and for brunch on Saturdays and Sundays.
Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, inspiring humanity through transformational learning in the classroom and community. Initiatives like Pathways to Bright Futures allow students to graduate high school with an associate degree or an industry-based credential, along with their high school diploma. More information at ebrschools.org. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at mitchellforeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.